like to make a start. We said 9 o'clock, we moved to 9:30, now we start in 9:45. I really want to appeal to members that we start at 9:30. This meeting is set for 9:15 to start at 9:30, meaning have tea at 9:15. That's what it means. Thank you. I'm glad. Yes, and not only that, they'll be sent out from the proceedings.
There we are.
It's going to be strict discipline. Right. You know what they say in the army, you know, if you're running an exercise and the shooting begins at low level, my God, if you come in standing up, you're dead. So, you know. We're getting back to the real core stuff, Honourable Mabato, who led by the able young lieutenant there on his left. All right, we're going to make a start. I think everyone now has the agenda in front of them, all except the chair, but I'll get mine out now. Yes, and that is, I was looking at the apologies we have. I'm not sure what it is about this committee, but we seem to have a very high hospital rate, hospitalization. We may have to get our own doctor into the committee to check, give members a monthly checkup. But we have very high incidence. I do apologize if you are getting disabled along the way. On the other hand, other members are in good standing here. But we've got an apology from, I think, the Honourable Lyon, who's in hospital, and then the Honourable Kotsi, who's in some meeting of Parliament in Botswana. And then we have Khabasa, who is... a plane has come in, fine. And then we have everyone else here. So let's just move on with this now. So what we're going to do now is a very quick process. We said that we were concerned about the Lotteries Board chairperson criteria. We needed to know more about the fundamentals of the legislation governing this. So the way we'll run this is to get the advocate attached to this committee, Advocate Bedger, to brief us. If possible, we would not like to have interruptions. Just let the briefing go ahead. I asked if members could be given the legislation, and I'm looking at Andre if they were given the pertinent legislation. It was distributed yesterday. Okay. I'm looking, this is what's in my cubbyhole, so let's hope it's one of these. And then the other thing is, after we've done that, we're going to then be discussing individual points, as it were. Has everyone got the opinion given to us by the advocate? Everyone should have that in their hands this morning. Yes, Honourable Marie.
Madam Chair, maybe just at the start of this procedure, you know my involvement with Sport for the Disabled, and I was experiencing so many times that probably a substantial part of the submissions or applications to Lotto ended eventually the beneficiaries is from the disabled community. So I have, and at that stage, I was not au fait with the realities that we're going to interview them. So I have intervened and be involved in the nomination of two candidates from the, obviously, my disabled sporting relationships. But I would guess that, you know, I mean, I would like to take part in the process, but I know that I will not be able then to partake in the interviews. Because I mean, I will, you know, it's obviously difficult to prove your unbiasedness in that regard. So So it seems like I'm going to have a day or two off.
Not exactly in the observer state.
It was not intentionally done.
I think sometimes when we feel passionate about something, we naturally would like to ensure that those convictions we hold have some concrete expression. And there's nothing wrong with the attitude there. Of course, it's how we process that. And I really would like to thank Honorable Maria for bringing this to our attention. It is not often that we're all acting in this Parliament as ethically robustly as that. But I would like to appeal. We've been reading the papers recently, and there's absolutely no doubt. A lot of the mismanagements on board and various other failings seem to stem from the wrong way our convictions are processed, and I'll give an expression. And I really want to ensure that this process will be, the intention will be to ensure that the intention of the legislation itself and the spirit, you know, the spirit and letter of that legislation is going to be effectively impacted upon by the appointment of a chair who will try to put things, what is currently not efficient and effective, make it more equitable and effective. So let's try. So on that note, I want to thank you most sincerely. We all know your convictions about the passion about the disabled, and they are not out of order at all, but thank you. If there's anyone else who in any way got involved in the process before coming to this committee, by that I mean through a nomination process, can you please let us know so that we could ensure that we deal with that? We don't want to read in the papers later on that Joan Phubbs has nominated someone and had a lot to say from the chair. You know what I mean? So just let's make sure. But I hasten to add that there's nothing in the legislation that precludes you from nominating. And I must make that clear. Nothing. But it's a matter of oversight. How do we effectively oversight, interview the people in an objective manner? So I'm not going to waste more time. It's then over to Advocate Bedger to brief us. I think, can we give you 15 to 20 minutes? Thank you. And please, when you refer to documents and these clauses, will you make it clear? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also feel the need to thank Mr. Murray for making my job easier. Because when I met the chairperson, those are one of the issues that came up on whether members can nominate and their involvement in the process. So I think that is a commendable thing that Mr. Murray just expressed to the committee. Well, I was asked to provide an opinion on a number of issues, I think seven, and maybe three more when I met the chairperson yesterday. I'm going to try to take the members through the opinion as they have in front of them. The first issue was around whether there is a role for the Portfolio Committee with regards to the appointment of other board members in terms of the Act. Because you remember that the Act specifically only calls for the involvement of the Portfolio Committee only around the nomination of the chairperson of the board. As far as other board members are concerned, the Act is silent on the participation or on the involvement of the Portfolio Committee. It gives that power to the minister to oversee that process. So on the first issue, the Act doesn't provide for any role for this Portfolio Committee to be involved in the appointment of other board members. The appointment of the involvement of the committee is around the appointment of the chairperson. if that is something that we might want to look at in future, then the committee might want to make a decision on whether they would want in future to be involved in the appointment of other board members, which, of course, will take place through separate processes that might involve an amendment of the Act at a later stage. But at this stage, the committee's involvement is around the appointment of the chairperson of the Lotteries Board. The second issue is around the term of office of the chairperson of the board. As stated in my opinion, the Act doesn't provide for a separate term of office for the chairperson, because the chairperson is also part of the board, just that he chairs the board. And the Act in Section 3.4 provides that a board member shall hold office for such period not exceeding 5 years, as the minister may determine at the time of his or her appointment. So it's for a period of five years, which, well, if you read that section, it also says that it's subject to a renewal. The next question was whether the position of the chairperson of the board is a full-time or a part-time position. Again, here I had to rely on the rules of statutory interpretation, because the Act is also silent on whether this position is full-time or part-time. My view was that in applying the rules of statutory interpretation, it appears that the position is full-time, as the Act would have specifically stated that the position is part-time if that was the intention of the drafters. Well, if you look at the rules of interpretation, when you interpret a statute that is vague on a certain issue, you usually take the best out of it instead of taking... If for example, they intended it to be part-time to limit rights, a statute that intends to limit rights would specifically state it in the Act, the limitation. So when you use the rules of the statutory interpretation, you usually take the advantage out of the statute, which is not necessarily something that goes down well with everyone. But when an Act is silent on certain matters, you don't assume that the intention is to limit rights. The intention is mostly to you interpret to the benefit of the person that we have to interpret this for. So if a chairperson were to ask, am I in a full-time or part-time position, we would have to interpret it in a situation that does not take away his rights. Because if an Act is silent, we say that a statute does not take away rights that a person would normally have. That is not an intention of a statute. Well, I then did some extra calling around to the board to find out whether they have non-executive and executive members. And the information that I found out was that it is only the chairperson that is an executive member of the board, meaning that his term is full-time, and that of the other members of the board, the term is part-time, because they are non-executive members of the board. So that might also be something that we would need to clarify in future, in our piece of legislation, on whether this position should be full-time or part-time based on the functions that the chairperson has to perform. If looking at the functions and the day-to-day activities that are involved in the running of the board, we decide that this indeed should be a full-time position, then we might want to clarify that to avoid relying on external resources and relying on rules of interpretation. Because sometimes it helps if a piece of legislation is certain, so that there are no loopholes, there are no gaps. It's either this or that. The remuneration, I'll also ask a question around remuneration. That is also quite straightforward. It's addressed in Section 6 of the Act and says that members of the board who are not in the service of the state may, in respect of their services, be paid such remuneration and allowances as may be determined by the minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance. Section 6 in subsection 2 goes further to state that the remuneration and allowances of the persons referred to in subsection 1 may differ according to the different offices held by them or the different functions performed by them, which in this case, after it discovered that the chairperson is in that position on a full-time basis, it means that his remuneration and allowances might be different from those of the part-time board members. They might be paid allowances to come to the meeting or fees for appearing at those meetings of the board from time to time. but that is decided by the minister. That is determined by the minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance. And I'm sure the committee, that information will be readily available for the committee. Should the committee would require it from the minister and the minister administering the legislation. Then the important issue around the criteria which this committee will have to use when it considers candidates for the position of the chairperson. The question was whether the Act provides for any criteria for the position of chairperson and whether the committee can develop additional or its own criteria. The Act doesn't say much, but Section 3A of the Act just requires that a chairperson be a person with applicable knowledge and experience with regards to matters connected with the functions of the board. So meaning that whoever is going to be considered for the position of the chairperson should be someone who has experience and knowledge on matters related to the functions of the board. And the functions of the board are listed in Section 6. I think I attached a list of these functions in the opinion. So which means that the candidates should be people who are more or less who more or less have some kind of knowledge or experience in the functions of the board that are mentioned in Section 10 of the Lotteries Act. There are about 11 functions of the board. And when I looked at the ad that was prepared by the minister calling for nomination for people to be considered for the position of the chairperson, it refers to that same requirement, that a person should have knowledge and experience in matters relating to the functions of the board. So my opinion is that whoever accepted a nomination to be considered as a candidate, as a chairperson of the board, would have had to look up the functions of the board. People would prepare prepare themselves for the interviews that the committee is going to hold around the functions of the board. So it would be difficult for the committee to then develop its own criteria when that criteria is not clear from the edge. Because when you respond to an advertisement for a job, I'm just making an example, you look at what are the skills required. They require an LLB. What sort of experience should I have? I should have 5 years experience as a legal advisor in a semi-state environment or in a law firm. I should have skills I should have legal research skills, I should have litigation skills, and so on. So it would put the committee in a difficult position to then come up with its own criteria and surprise the candidates on the line of questioning when people who responded to the ad responded because they have some experience and knowledge on the functions of the board. Then the next question would be, the role of the committee if the chairperson in future does not fulfill his or her duties as outlined in the Act. Again, unfortunately, there's a shortcoming in the Act. I'm going to call it a shortcoming because the committee is tasked with the responsibility of appointing a chairperson of the board. But the committee has no role in the process of removal or termination of that chairperson's term of office should he or she be found to be not fulfilling his or her duties. The power is given to the minister. Section 3.5 empowers the minister to terminate the membership of any member of the board on various grounds, including misconduct or prolonged inability to perform functions of a member of the board. But my view is that since Section 55 of the Constitution gave the power to the National Assembly and its committees to maintain oversight over the exercise of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation, implementation of the Lotteries Act, for example, it means that there is nothing precluding this committee. If that committee is in possession of information that a certain chairperson is failing to fulfill his or her duties, to require of the minister to take steps against a chairperson who fails to discharge his or her duties. And this, of course, would be in line with the committee's responsibility to maintain oversight over the National Executive in the implementation of the Lotteries Act. That would address the shortcoming that even though the committee is given the power to appoint a chairperson, there's no involvement in the removal. That might also be something that the committee wants to just think about it for later on, whether it should be clarified in the Act that the committee should actually have a role. Because I remember when we drafted the National Youth Development Agency Act, we actually included a role for the committee that would have oversight over youth matters, to have a role in the removal process of the board members. Because if you're going to appoint, you should have the power to remove. For me it just makes sense that if you have the power to appoint someone, you should have a say in how that person's in how the termination of that person's term of office. But it's not all lost, because this committee, through Section 55, has the power to maintain oversight over the executive. So if the committee has information, it's in its possession that the chairperson is not fulfilling his duties and the minister is not doing anything about it, the committee can call the minister to account on why steps haven't been taken against the member who, against the chairperson who is failing to fulfill his or her duties. And then the last question from the set of questions that was sent by Andrew is the role of the DTI in the process. Is it advisable for them to be observant? That, for me, members, I do not foresee any problems with allowing the DTI to be observant in the process. Because remember, the Act itself requires of the committee to conduct this process in an open and transparent manner. The Constitution itself, through Section 59, further requires the NA, by necessary implication and its committees, to conduct its business in an open manner, unless excluding the public is reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society. So I really do not foresee any problems with them observing the proceedings. The committee is quite capable of handling the process on its own. It's not like by sitting here they're going to influence the outcome of the committee's recommendation. Of course, they're not going to be involved. They're not going to partake in the proceedings, but I do not foresee any problems with the DTI being granted observer status, unless it was a closed meeting for some other reason. Then the other question that I was asked, I said from the beginning, that I was asked yesterday afternoon, I think Mr. Murray got me off the hook on that one. And I should thank you for that.
Can I assist you further in terms of my observation, yes, of my position? My guesstimate would be that obviously in determining the shortlist, I should not partake in that. And obviously if one of the people that I've nominated is part of the final list, then obviously I cannot be part of that either. But if none of them are part of that list, then I presume I can be part of that process. Correct? Okay, thank you.
What I want to do is this. While Honourable Marais, we appreciate that intervention, a danger in a committee is that these things become a precedent for others to intervene. So let's try and just... Yes, thank you.
I presume you can hand us the CVs of the candidates. Can I just ask that we don't open this, that we don't read through this until we've finalised what the criteria should be, and even to the extent that we finalise what questions we want to say to ask, and how the shortlisting is going to happen. Because, you know, I just feel uncomfortable having the names available, because one could then be accused later on of having kept in mind your preferred candidate in determining the questions that we're going to ask.
In fact, I wanted to say, and I thought I made it clear, that it would be important for us to focus at this stage, today, in this meeting rather, the process and the criteria. We want to ensure that all of us are going forward in the same manner, under the same agreement, as it were. So I think that we're really relying on folks just to go forward in an honest way. Yes, thank you, Honourable Chair.
The first thing to say is that there have been problems in the past. This committee has been briefed many times by the lottery's chair and some of his staff, and that I think we must take that into account. The second thing is that there's an awful lot of money involved, and therefore the responsibility of the board and the chair is really very substantial. And the third thing is that this is very much in the public domain, that the public are very aware of what the board does, and there's a lot of interest in this cash, many applications, and therefore that it's actually a rather serious business. So I think that if we're going to follow your guidance, which I think is correct, and now lay down some criteria, we shouldn't forget about the rest of the issues as well. I'm inclined to say that a task team of two or three people should actually be set up who will specialize in this whole thing of lotteries. You don't need the whole committee. And let them read the stuff when we're ready for it, look at the legislation, and begin to anticipate an amendment to the bill, to the act, or regulations. I think we need to take a long view. And I think it's a bit of a specialist job that we should delegate to two or three people and say, so we do our job today, as you say, thereafter, really, we need to take this thing quite seriously.
Thank you, Honourable Turok. I mean, we've had this view, I think, all of us for some time, that this was one of the challenges facing the committee, and that perhaps we've been finding this all along, that some of the legislation, perhaps, sometimes one needs to see legislation and practice to pick up some of these things. And quite clearly, we have certainly identified a number of problems in the existing Act. But it would be a good idea right now if we can just complete this process of briefing by yourself, Advocate Fletcher, because I think you're just coming to the end of it, are you not? I thought that you would just touch on this issue of the gazettes and, an issue that it talks about the notice here, saying that the minister has by notice in the Gazette and in not less than two newspapers, he circulates that, etc., etc., and only then the relevant committee makes recommendations in an open process. What isn't that clear is you talk about a short list. Presumably part of our criteria would be to say, well, we only have two people on the short list, three or one. You know, it's issues like that, some technical ones as well that we're going to be faced with. But I would like you just to comment on this point about the board. You've highlighted some of the shortcomings here and indicated that we have no role, direct role in the legislation to play in the selection and interviewing of the committee. It would have been useful to know if you've looked at other pieces of legislation in relation to the appointment of chairpersons and boards, and whether or not this is in the same vein as all of that legislation we've written or passed in South Africa, other countries, and just being able to give us the benefit of your legal expertise there. If you haven't had a chance to do that, because we didn't really request that, but if you can just give us the benefit of your legal opinion there before we ask some questions in this regard.
Thank you, Chair. I checked the latest version of the Broadcasting Act and the committee legislation that we drafted last year, the National Youth Development Agency Act. They provide for a role for the committee in the appointment of all the board members. In fact, I checked the Broadcasting Act and suggested yesterday, It also provides in Section 15 for the removal from office of a board member by a committee of the National Assembly. It's also on the same, because we also used it when we were drafting the agency bill, that, as I said, that it also provides for a role of the committee responsible for youth matters to remove a board member.
Let me open it up more broadly then. We've had some comments or questions at this point. Remember, all we're doing right now is we've been tasked with the interview of the chairpersons that have been applied or nominated through an advertisement, and we will be required to recommend a shortlist to the minister. And all we are looking at now is the process we should pursue and also the criteria that we may wish to expand upon that exists in the legislation. So that's the one side. The other side is what the Honourable Turok referred to, is perhaps to say, well, we'll need to start taking these other issues on board as well. But let's put these comments and questions on the table, and let's allow the Advocate Bedger to respond, but also Margot, the content specialist, as well as our researcher, if he has anything to say. So it's open to you, Honourable Mabaso. Is the first one. I didn't have another hand. Honourable Ntuli, Honourable van der Westhuizen, Honourable Njikalala.
Colleague Chair, thank you, and thanks for the input from Advocate Bedger. I also thought it would be important for us to ask ourselves and say, when this entity was set up, notaries, what was the main objective, you know, from the country's point of view, so that that objective never escapes us as we go on. But then the second point will also be to say, the previous board, what was its strength as a unit, and what were its weaknesses as a unit, so that, you know, the board that we seek to have, it must strengthen on what were the strengths, but obviously what were weaknesses, it means we must obviate them. And also to say, what were criticisms from the public's point of view, because as you have highlighted, this is a matter in the public interest, so that we are under the scrutiny of the public. So that from the public's point of view, what is it that we should do or not do, such that we are moving in line with the public, we don't shock the public, and so that we win the confidence of the public by, and when I say we are just an extent, we are just one element, but it means even the lottery board itself has to conduct in such a manner that it wins the confidence of the public. Thanks, Colleague Chair.
Right, Honourable Mabaso, then we have Honourable
Thanks, Chairperson. I think Comrade Mabaso has covered me, because I wanted to check whether we have done the assessment of the previous board. What were the shortcomings or what were the successes? I think he has covered me. But I wanted to check as well whether the sorting and shortlisting, has it been done, or who does it? As we are saying, we've got the applicants who are collecting, sorting all the applications and shortlisting, and I would say the competencies of a particular chairperson who designed it, or I'll put it that way. Thanks.
Chairperson, I've got and not to say, and I'll try and break it up in different things. The first one is, it seems to me as if we've got a huge number of applications, which makes it completely impractical to invite everybody for an interview. 84, if I read the numbers correctly. Which means that, to my mind, how I see the process is that we develop some criteria, ones that are hopefully geared towards being able to make this a desktop exercise. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, we believe that this chairperson should be a minister of religion. Yeah. Then we look under the 84 whether there are any ministers of religion, and only they will then qualify. Or let's say somebody with some legal training. Or, you know, I don't want to go into real detail because my colleague is still sitting here, and I don't want him to run out to his candidates and tell them what our thinking was. So, firstly, I think what we should do is we must get some criteria that are easy to objectively apply, and then we must see if we can do a first pruning of the 84 candidates. If necessary, we might even have to come back and say, listen, okay, now we must raise the bar because we're still sitting with 70, or, you know, the first pruning process was not effective enough. It could also be that you know, we set the bar too high, and that we come back and say, well, we didn't find any candidates, you know, that met the criteria. Do you want to reconsider? But that would be my first suggestion, that we try and get for something that will lend itself to a desktop evaluation of the candidates. Then the second thing is, I think we must then look at the functions of the board as it is in the Act under Section 10. Yes. The functions of the board, but can I also at this stage then say, you know, what is in the Act is the functions that are specific to the Lotteries Board. I mean, it gives their mandate what they can do. But I want to say to you from experience that a board chairperson has got many other functions. For example, he or she must be able to lead meetings, must be able to critically look at reports. Such a person must have the ability to understand the legal processes, etc. It speaks of openness and transparency. So I would be looking for candidates that have got a history of not, you know, being involved in things that would not stand up to a transparent process, etc. As a matter of fact, it must preferably be somebody with a history where he or she has proven that they always go for openness and transparency, that they always would you know, when other people might still try to close a meeting, this person must have been the advocate to say, open up the meeting. So that would be my first suggestion as to the questions or the qualities or the criteria itself. As I've said, I'm just going to hold back on that. But that is the way I see this for us to able to manage what is presently an unmanageable situation.
Too long at all.
When it comes to the criteria, Honourable Maria, as long as we're not commenting on the criteria, I take it this is something else.
I just want to say that obviously it doesn't only involve, you know, the group where I'm involved in, but it's what I've experienced so many times in the past, and some of the criticism was that, you know, you get an organization that applies for funding, for instance, for 10 million rand, it might be a NGO organization, a soup kitchen, or whatever the case may be, and they only get, for instance, 1 million rand. Now, then you ask yourself whether someone who has evaluated that application has got any empathy, real empathy, in other words, an understanding of what the money will be used for. And obviously, on a board, you need, or when those applications need to be evaluated, you hopefully will have people there that can relate to where the money will be applied and whether that will make a difference. Because sometimes when they apply for 10 million rand, they give 1 million rand, that you can do nothing with that. So then rather give nothing. Mm-hmm. But at least understand what the purpose of this application and the money for that will be. Thank you.
I think we then
have
Honourable Njikalana. understand, sir. Well, I'll just put questions for now. I would like to make my comments questions. I'll tell the second round and make comments. Chair, the first thing is, does the Act have any regulation? Because it would be interesting to see if some of the issues that were raised are contained in the regulation. Secondly, the... No, no, it makes it a comment that probably it would have been helpful that someone from the department would have been around, particularly those who oversee the lottery. Because my question is that here the Act was structured such that the committee's role was explicitly limited to appointment of the chairperson only. My question is why? Because the conventional practice is to appoint the board as a whole. Now, why in this instance? In fact, I would even say, why lottery only? We've got about 23 boards, you know. Of course, it's linked to whatever I can comment on next as we go on. Is there any deadline for appointment of the chairperson? To say we should appoint the chairperson by a certain time or within a certain period from whatever. Coming to the full-time position, quite a number of things jump up in my mind. The first one is that what are the duties and functions or job description of the full-time chair of the board? Because once again, even in the private sector, the assumption of an executive chair is not the predominant practice. The practice of executive chair mostly is non-executive chair. So, in this instance, you know, following on my why question is that precisely what is this chair doing? And what was the motivation thereof? And plus, performance management arrangements. Were there any performance management arrangements? Because the person is full time. Starts at 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock and gets remunerated. And my humble assumption is that then there should be performance management arrangements for that kind of thing. There's also remuneration involved. Thanks, sir.
Right. If you can hear, there have been quite a few points made. Now, one comes back to the point again. I even asked for the Constitution, and of course, constitutions are designed to embrace issues very broadly. That's the whole thing. And so you have to try and ask yourself, what indeed is the intention of the Lotteries Board? This gambling, you name it. What was the intention here? Of those at the time who, you know, deliberated on what was being drafted, passed this legislation. And if we don't have that actually set up, they say you can often look at the legislation itself, as we've got here in front of us, and say it's when you look at the function that you begin to get some idea on what is the intention here. And there were one or two areas to which we were alerted, I noticed. There's a reference made to some last page here. And it spoke about, on this last page, which is, I think, just a focus set of the Lotteries Act, 10, and I think it was under 10C or whatever. And it spoke about the administration of the funds and the holding it in trust. Someone, I understand then, this trust and fund are the proceeds of what comes into it after the percentage taken by the agency running the actual lottery itself. So a percentage of those funds is then handed over to be held in trust. Now, what was interesting is that during the orientation, some of us will remember, there had been a fair amount of media on the lotteries board, and we got a defence campaign mounted by the chair to the media, not to ourselves, of course, indicating that he had certainly didn't run this fund. But when one examines the legislation, that fund falls under the chairperson of the board. It falls under the board. So that various agencies, which he did refer us to during that orientation, the sports, the education, etc., got the applications from their respective sector or within their respective sector, and then they forwarded those applications, if you like, to the board. They didn't make the final decision. And then the board makes the final decision, and I just want to clarify, does that final decision include how much, when, etc.? So, once again, it is the chairperson holding it in trust. Now, I want that clarified for the committee. Does this not fall under the chairperson of the board, that actual trust? And if it does fall under the chairperson of the board, is it not the chairperson of the board with his membership there who appoints the distribution agency of the funds, of the trust funds? So I just would like some of those issues, because to me that would then amount to quite a huge job if it was being done that way. Certainly not once a week, as it were, judging from the thousands, he reckons, of applications they were receiving. The other aspect was the examination of those applications, where, again, we were told by himself, the chairperson, again at the orientation, that it was very difficult, the time spent, to look and examine whether people were eligible and had complied with this and that. And that was another reason for the delay in the distribution. Now, I'm simply mentioning this, and then G, it sort of speaks about the implementing a social responsibility program in respect of lotteries. When we talk about social responsibility again, it would seem to ask us to look, is the intention, what it states here in the legislation, simply to regulate? Is that it? Putting a few regulations around this board. Or was there something implicit within the legislation that was not explicit? And maybe that's not for the advocate, but for ourselves. The more questions I see raised here, the more I want to come back to the Honourable Turok's point of saying, this is even bigger than one. Each time you talk, you find a huge other area. Now, I need to just ask our committee secretary just to tell us for a moment in time, how much time do we have to process this? And to the advocate, is there a deadline in processing these applications so that we can then make an informed political decision? So first let's get the deadline, then let's get the timing, and then let's come back to ourselves before we get the questions responded to.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm trying to browse as quickly as I can through the Act on... There's no deadline that is set in the Act for the committee to process this, unless the Minister in his communication had indicated that he would appreciate if this would be finalized by a certain date.
Where's the advert? Is it here? I just wanted to see if the advert said anything, you know, just deadlining this thing.
Madam, yes. I can report to the only deadline that I know of is that they must commence with their job on the 1st of January.
Next year.
Yeah. And other than that is when they must start with their work and take over from the existing board.
So clearly we want this process completed by November. I'm just trying to get some guideline here.
Depending on how much time the minister needs
to make his appointments, because how I see the process, first you get your chairperson, and then the minister will say, listen, I've now got a chairperson with a strong legal background, so that's been covered. My other members that I now need to appoint don't need to be so strong in legal affairs or a very strong accounting background or anything like that. So I don't think we can wait until end of November and then the minister will have enough time. And if I may add, I think these people will also need to have, let's say, a month or 6 weeks notice that they have been appointed to get their affairs, you know, sorted out, to take up office.
I'm now asking Andre when we can begin to fit this in, because I can see we're going to need a task team. The idea that we would be now trying to interview a few people tomorrow may be really totally unrealistic.
Andre? The committee has the power to determine exactly the process and on what time they would require to do that. So the committee can determine exactly that. Given the fact that there is that the deadline of the 1st of January, and given the fact that what the member raised in terms of allowing the minister to the adequate time to do his or her appointment in that regard, we need to look at our program and see how we can fit in such a process. It means it would require us, probably, given the program that we have, two meetings in the evening and in the afternoon to do justice to such a process. And that's it. But the committee can determine, and we need to look at what our program is and how we can make adjustments if we can, and if we are would require to meet in the afternoon from 4 o'clock onwards after the house sitting, to meet in the evenings and to finalize such a process. But we need to look at our program and see how we can get it.
All right, look, just before I take Honourable Turok, the 2nd of December is the date that their term of office ends. I think that's quite important. Yes, Honourable Turok.
Chair, you may remember the legal battles that took place a year ago over the distribution function. It was very messy, and there was an enormous battle because of the amount of money involved. The distribution agency. So I think we must be terribly careful how we handle this. And the appointment of the chair is the easiest part, actually. Although we need to take account of all the things that colleagues have said about the kind of person you want, but that's the easy bit. The rest is very difficult. Secondly, there's also an allocation to the RDP fund. In other words, the government gets a cut. Is that changed?
The act that we have in front of us is not as it stands at present. It's the original act, where it's still referred to the RDP fund, but I have understood that that part has been scrapped with further, what do you call it, changes to the legislation.
Hang on, just let me off here. Is this not the latest act in front of us?
All the amendments. No, because, you know, we are relying on staff here. Now, I'm looking at the advocates. Is there further amendments to this legislation?
The mic.
Yeah, let's get this online.
No. I don't know the version that Andre copied for the members.
Okay, let's just check it out. It's number 1847389.
You see, if you're looking at the wrong
registration, we've got a problem.
Can I? No, that's fine. Yeah. My final point is this. The more we talk, the more I realize this is a highly specialized job and a task team is vital. Can I offer, I imagine that I have quite a lot of documentation in my library, in my office, from previous hearings, and I'm very happy to give this to whoever is going to take this on, and I think the history is actually terribly important, so that we are well informed on the basis of all the problems that existed before. So I offer that to anybody who wants it.
Right, now look, this, you see now, Obviously, we do rely on support staff for that kind of thing, and we don't want to delay committee processes when that... It's quite clear we don't have the latest amendments in front of us. So let's not debate it. We'll get that. Let's leave that. And let's not have that again. I think now we must ensure the committee here I can't read the stuff, it's too small. I was then not misinformed by legislation. But let's get that from Advocate Bedger. All the latest. But I think there were a few other comments made. Some of them we need to respond to by the advocates and by staff before we identify the task team. And then our next job is going to be to identify the task team, to set up what we want the task team to do, and then identify the task team in that order. So let's just have one thing at a time. Some of the questions you needn't respond to, they'll be dealt with by the task team, but others I think can be dealt with immediately. Starting with yourself then, Margot, do you want to say anything? I was saying Margot, but what's your surname?
Sterling.
You may, on, yeah, Mr. Sterling.
I should think that that's a whale saying the ruling is formal, isn't it? Basically, I just wanted to add that probably if we argue, if we're dealing with the criteria, that the minimum criteria is obviously what is in the Act, and then build, because obviously of the advertisements, et cetera, and then building on that, any specific characteristics, et cetera, that we just think should be added.
Thank you, Ms. Herling. I wonder if we could just have some of these things responded to, and you come and then Honourable Mendebestosen, because you do know a lot more than some of us know here, I must say, just as well you alerted us to the legislation. Yes, Honourable McClung.
Thanks, sir. Just responding to one of the questions on the issue of who manages the distribution fund. When I read the part of the activities of the board, except apart from the main one on advising the minister, says monitoring the performance of license holders and others, but there's a main one, says managing the lottery distribution trust fund, which includes setting up and providing administration and management support to the distribution agency. So it's managed by the board. And then the issue that... And then the question that came from Prof. Turok on the issue of RDP, yes, there was gazetted in the 2002, Government Gazette 2002, there were five categories mentioned, the RDP, charities, sports, and arts and culture, and miscellaneous purposes that we approved by the minister. And then as of 2008, during our orientation in Pretoria, they only mentioned three, arts, charities, and sports. Those are the three that we have. And according to the allocation, RDP has 0% allocation, and then the others, charities, 45%.
Keep these things on board because we may need to just involve the researcher in some of these. We have Honourable Turok, who's really got the institutional continuity of the committee on board, and then others who... Search have come across. I just want to check with Advocate Bedger if there was any question you could respond to now.
Thank you, Chair. I think Mr. Ntuli asked the question around shortlisting. Who does the shortlisting? There was an opinion that I wrote before this one that I sent to the chairperson and Andres clarifying who does the shortlisting. I think that opinion was also forwarded to the minister because there was some confusion around who does the shortlisting. It would have to be this committee, and I assume Suraj brought all the CVs to the committee, so the committee has to do that.
so not glamorous job of looking through that 80-something, some 80-something CVs. The minister's role is limited to just advertising. Once they get the CVs, as they receive the CVs, they must bring all the CVs to the committee to do the shortlisting. Yes, for the chairperson's position. Before I go forward and responding to the other questions, I think I need to apologize for the members not having the latest version of the Act. I was not aware of it. But I'll make sure that in future you get it from our office, because ours are quite updated, because we subscribe to Bathurst. So I must apologize for that. The main objective of setting up the lotteries board, the short title of the Act is very clear, it's very thin on what was the objective of coming up with this piece of legislation. It just merely states the objective to regulate and prohibit lotteries and sports pools and to establish the lotteries board. And I don't think that gives us money to work with. I think Mark will explain the criteria process. And I just want to respond to Mr. Van der Weest's presence, question or comment around issues that the committee might want to put to people who come to be interviewed for the position of the chairperson. I think it is quite correct that I'm not saying that the committee is tied to asking questions around the functions of the board. We discussed this with the chairperson yesterday, but the committee might need to have some standard questions around the functions of the board. That does not tie the committee to asking only those questions, because remember, I was going through the Act. For example, Section 12 requires the board to table the annual annual report and the audit report to Parliament annually, 3 months after they have wrapped up their books. And there's a subsection that would require their financial statements to comply with generally accepted accounting principles. So you might want people who are well versed in such matters. I mean, it goes without saying that these people should have a clue on matters of corporate governance and general accounting principles. And the issue that was raised by Mr. Murray, I think I'll tie it to my response as well. We should not be limited to people knowing the functions of the board, because they do much more than that. They don't have to know principles of financial accounting. We have a new Companies Act that was passed by this committee last year. They would need to know what the fiduciary duties of members of boards are. So I don't think I'm saying that the committee's hands are tied to asking questions only around functions, but at least those should be asked, because the Act made mention of the fact that people should have experience and knowledge on matters relating to the functions of the board. And then Mr. Njegelana asked if the Act does have any regulation. Yes, Section 60 and Section 61, Mr. Njegelana, actually empowers the minister to make regulations on matters relating to the national lottery and the sports pool. Also, in the issue that Wazi was talking about, I'll try to trace all the regulations that have been made and just maybe make a nice package of the regulations. Because he also needs to appoint distribution agencies for sports and recreation, and that appointment he does through regulations, because it's an extra thing. Whenever there's a need to appoint an agency to deal with sports and recreation or the RCC Fund and the Arts and Culture Agency, then that appointment he does through regulations. So because I remember the ad, there's also an advertisement calling for nominations for the chairperson and members of the board of the Sports and Recreation Agency. And he refers to and his powers in accordance with the regulation that he had made. So from time to time, he would make regulations. And one of the examples is that he makes a regulation to appoint an agency, for example, a distribution agency on sports and recreation matters or arts and culture matters. And then on National Lottery, it would be around fees. It's on Section 60, it would be around fees, for example, and how many licenses they're going to issue. Then I think Mr. Njegelana also asked something around performance management arrangements for the chairperson, since his position is full-time. Unfortunately, the Act does not provide for that, and I have never come across a statute that makes statements arrangements for the chairperson. Maybe that would be something that we might want to think of in future. Except for saying that if a person does not fail to perform his duties, his prolonged absence from meetings, he neglects his duties and so on, then that person would be held accountable by the minister. Usually it would be the CEO that would be required to sign a performance contract. I know a CEO that assists the board, that person would normally be required to sign a performance contract. But the chairperson, I've never come across a situation where they make him sign a performance contract as if he or she were an employee of the board. His performance is managed through a process of removing him should there be a dissatisfaction in the manner in which he or she is conducting the activities of the board, or gross misconduct for staying away from meetings without reason.
Now, look, we did have Honourable Mandavesto is up first.
Thank you, Chief. Chief, from my experience of councils and directorships, one of the most important things that a council can do is to appoint the right CEO, and secondly, to see to it that that person's contract, and especially the performance part of that person's contract, is written with a lot of insight into what that person should do. I think much of the criticism that government is getting at the moment around people getting huge bonuses and so on, where things are not really going well in their organizations, has to do with the fact that many board chairpersons and board members are not well equipped to critically look when such agreements with CEOs are signed, as to what the implications of those agreements are. So, for example, that's why I would think that one of the things that at least one or more of the board members, and preferably the chairperson of the board, should have is that experience of appointing the right people in senior positions, for example, like the CEO. And you will see also in Section 7A, the board shall appoint suitably qualified and experienced person as a chief executive officer. I think we must also understand the board does the governance. The board doesn't do the management. Then you appoint the right CEO, and I almost want to say, my experience has been, if you appoint the right CEO, then your task is done. To a large extent, after that, it's just a monitoring and evaluation job. Then you can sit back and you can even relax. But to find that right person, and when you contract that person, to see to it that contract is drawn up in a balanced way. Because what we often find is the board members are not so well equipped. The CEOs come, they get legal advice, they determine the contents of their agreements. And when things go wrong, then the board can do very little about it. And that's what we've seen with the current chairperson of the board. When we were in Pretoria, they said, well, you know, these people are a law unto their own. Probably they are, but it's the previous council, I would think, vague to say, that the previous council then allowed them to become a law unto their own. And probably in contrast, they have secured for themselves that independency to such an extent that they can't be held accountable. And immediately when I say this, I think you can already see how my head is working towards what should be the qualities of the suitable or the eventual chairperson. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I mean, no, he was simply talking from the council experience. You know what I mean, not anything else. Look, I think we're getting to a point where quite... Oh, yes, Honourable Maria. And we close this part with Honourable Njikalan.
Madam Chair, maybe the advocate can help me or assist as well. The National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund, that is administered in terms of a separate act. Because the distribution agency is obviously is appointed basically as a responsibility of the trust fund. And it's the board members that I believe that is still the trustees in terms of the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund. So if one can just separate the NLB and the NLDTF
from each other and in terms of what we must do in terms of the board. Then secondly, we've got an enormous lot of applications. You know, if I can recall the advertisement correctly, it was calling for nominations for members of the board, but not necessarily for a nomination of chairmanship. Now, my assumption is that there's many, many, many applications that the people would not like to be the chairperson. From here. So in other words, they might not be available for chairman, but as a board member. But only as a board member. So in other words, their intention might have been to be nominated as a candidate for a board member, but not necessarily as a candidate for chairmanship of the board. So if one can...
Yeah, but I mean, the advert was for the chairperson, so... See, that's why I asked to read this advert in front of us. So let's get this advert out before tea, but let's have Honourable Njikalana.
Sure. A couple of things from my side there. Number one, I trust and hope also the public hearing that we'll be having, you know, down the line would help to clarify some of the things that are coming up here, because there are people who have been fairly engaged in the lottery activities, you know, at whatever level, who could obviously add value and share a number of experiences that would help on the legislative reviewer. Just as the first comment. But also, I hope at some stage we'll address ourselves on some policy framework or guidelines as to the our role and contribution on appointments and removal of boards as a whole and or chairpersons, because I'm rather keen that there's consistency in what we're doing, you know, because honestly, I still have to be convinced and satisfied that this exercise that we're doing, why do it on lottery only? Why not on IDC? Why not on SAMA? Why not on SANA? Why not on SABS? You know, I need to be convinced as to why separately on this one. Hopefully I'm not naive. The last one is that to me there must be a strong fund motivation for a full-time deployment into chairperson position vis-a-vis the chief executive officer's position. I thought Stephen was actually moving towards that position, because he was emphasizing that actually people who handle a lot of things, their day-to-day operations, are chief executive officers or general managers or managing directors. So I'm really going to stand my ground very strongly until I get convinced. I hope others would open up as well as to why we need a full-time chairperson. I know it's a messy, you know, task, a messy project, but to me, if it's a messy project, then why not beef up the chief executive officer's office, because the chairperson is part of a contingent that's conducting oversight or management of the operation. Now, he's full-time. How does it then, if he's full-time doing certain operational things, how does it then at the same time become part of a level that's conducting oversight and some form of supervision? It's dicey, Chair, honestly speaking. I mean, if we're going to maintain this, we'll have to make sure that we get a very, very convincing motivation on this.
The more we comment and find this, I mean, the holes are just gaping. By now, we would have sunk if we were a ship. But let's have the Honourable Turok and then Honourable Labenia.
Chair, let's bite one piece at a time. The first thing, it seems to me, is to appoint a task team, and they come with recommendations to us about everything. The second thing is that we recognize there are at least three levels. There's the board, and I agree the chair should be full-time, because there are a lot of social issues that come up. I remember briefings here. What proportion do you give to sport? What proportion to charity? All that kind of stuff. That is for the board, not the CEO, not the distribution company. So there are three levels. There's the board, there's the CEO, and there's the fund distribution agency, and there may be more than one. So the first thing is, let's separate the three functions. Our job now is to approach the question of the chair, and we should move towards that, and I propose a task team to start with that. Then, finally, the point is that the chair of the board has to be somebody who understands the whole question of allocating money. He's not merely a lawyer, he's not merely an accountant, he also understands the whole business of allocating funds, not in a technical sense, but in a policy sense. Because I can tell you that the problems at the end of the day are not going to be simply about the bookkeeping going wrong. You know, that's not going to be the main issue. If the board does the wrong thing and allocates in the wrong direction, the outcry will be about the policy adopted by the board. So the chair must be somebody, I think you said, Maria said it earlier, that the chair must be somebody highly sensitive to the needs out there. And just finally, Chair, it seems to me when you read the short title, one of the objects of this act originally was to stop gambling in other areas, lotteries, pools, and all sorts of informal stuff. So the government said, let's set up a proper lottery board which will ensure that there's not a lot of nonsense going on out there. And we must be sensitive to that. So that, it seems to me that was the reason for the original intervention.
No, I thought I was just going to say, Honourable Lavinia, as the last one before we have some tea, allowing us just to think a bit informally before coming back here. Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. No, I'm also on the view that it makes sense to have a permanent chairperson, because if you look at the responsibilities of the board, to me it says that you need someone who is part of the board, who is always available, because if you are going to have all of them being part-time, that could create problems as well, because it would mean that they've got other responsibilities and they may not be always be able to prioritize, you know, the responsibilities of the board. So that one, to me, it makes a lot of sense. But moving on to the concern that was raised by Honorable Mare, my understanding is that when we are putting together the questions, when you interview your candidates, you always, you know, get an opportunity to establish the availability of the candidate. That is when you are able to see which candidates, you know, besides the capability, but the availability also determines which candidates can be considered for the chairpersonship. So that I don't think that one can be a problem, because when you are conducting the interviews, you'll be able to identify, you know, people who are not, you know, available 100% and those who are, you know, going to avail themselves. But chairperson, you know, I've been quiet because I've been thinking that it is really a pity that the Act says it is only the responsibility of the minister to put the advert out. Because my understanding, like what I would have loved to see is that if it is us as this committee who are going to appoint the chairperson, we should have been brought on board before the advert was put out. As our advocate here was correctly saying that, you know, once the advert is out and people have responded to the advert, you cannot then begin to put your own criteria when formulating questions. That would be out of order. So I don't know, but in supporting Professor Turok, I think we really need to relook at the act itself and see if there is anything that can be changed, because to me, really, it doesn't make sense. If you are going to be appointing someone, you must first be involved in saying what kind of a person are we looking for. So now the advert was put by the minister, and we are now going to see what did the minister want. So it is not what us, you know, are looking for, because he's the one who put the advert. So I think there is a great need for us to look into that in future. Thank you, Chair.
Right. You know, members, what I'm going to do is let's have some tea, because there are three issues that we're going to face when we get back. The one is very clearly what we want the terms of reference for a task team. We know what our, and then to give an operational deadline to that task team. And then secondly, in relation to that, an ancillary to that may be the need to see what should come first. I hope this won't turn out to be a chicken and egg situation, or is it? Yeah, because, you know, do we move ahead with the task team and who's focusing on the appointment of the chair, as it were, only to find ourselves ring-fenced in with a board that is appointed under the current legislation, which we are already finding problematic, as it were. So, for me, I've always found a cup of rooibos helpful. So, at this point, what I want to suggest is we take a little tea break and we come back in just about 7 to 10 minutes, please.
Thank you. It would be very bad by intention or by unintentionally. By playing. I'm a very to a corner. I would have then ever look back. All the kind of questions I ask, does it really make sense to take for a poor community to play lotto?
Yes.
Pray for 1 million.
When you see lotto, you are never sure you're late for one.
Lotto will play the card.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if you say from the poor community, they spend 1 million.
Mm.
They will be a man on playing. But the benefit they get is 100,000. Doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Mm. So, I don't know how one can evaluate how much money you come to make a certain game. Because that also depends on. I really each like a charity. It helps the rest of the charity. And also, there are processes involved. But you can apply for a fund if you can get to the charity. But you could see more certain communities.
They may not. What element of the
They require a financial statement. They require. But now the question is, what are they doing? These people don't have money. What are they doing to make sure that, because we don't have this, okay, we will make sure that if money comes to you, but if they don't have this, you will be fine. That's not the example for us. Because it doesn't make sense to say, no, they do not qualify. Then, so that's why you find that most of the allocation is in crowdfunding. So, you know, it shows this development as a principle. If it is not well understood, we are in trouble. No, Mara, you'll have to ask her. Although Nani, you're not at the environment.
Yeah.
But
we need some new.
Mara, who thought?
I mean, who thought it was clear for me? Because the night is bender. Because the parents are taking questions and that's the because the presentation is very, very tight. Because my question is always this. People say with money we cover 47%. Now, 47%, what does it mean?
Yeah, of what?
You can say it's some differences, but for you to say for the means, number of applications and how much the number that we were able to
appear.
Yes. Consider the amount you the 10 applications that we managed present compared to we managed 10 out of 300. So we need that because the specific I have can come from anywhere. Unfortunately, they come just in terms of money, but now, unfortunately, does not take to in terms of the number of people. You can see 47% of the video, but it's different from 47% of 10 artists.
Yes, I'm with you.
So, those are some of the things we need to have. But the question is not become.
No, that's a little. If we don't do our best, indirectly we are going to justify into Limaga. This is Limaga with justification.
In the same way, you cannot speak met abantu abakwazi ukuthi
Thank you.
But I was just going to say we agreed on that. I was trying to look at the quorum status so that, you know, we can take an effective decision on this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So, first of all, we are positioned. I want this quite clear, and I want these things ministered, I think, please, that our position as this Trade and Industry Portfolio Committee is there are just too many. The legislation and the requirements for us on the appointment of the chair are more complex than we anticipated, and we have identified a number of other weak areas closely related to the appointment of the chair and the functions of such a person for us simply to proceed as planned. First point. So the second point is our position then is to appoint a task team to take to study the matter further for the benefit of this committee with the assistance of the support staff here. We looked at the schedule. You don't have to put we looked at the schedule and all of that, yeah. Quite clearly constituency is upon us in a week. And that would leave a week for this task team to come back and brief us as to the core issues that they need to proceed on or how we should proceed. So we have taken the decision then to appoint a task team. Am I correct? Can we have a proposal for that? Someone to propose it? Thanks, Honourable Ntuli. Seconded? Thanks, Honourable Labenia. Then the second thing is we then need to... We said identify the terms of reference for this task team. Can we have a proposal for that, please? Yourself, is it Honourable Mabaso?
What is the
terms of reference. We're going to decide what they are. And your well, we won't say yourself, seen as you're not directly part of all the criteria. So the other person would be, is it yourself then, Honourable Ntuli? Yeah. So now can we have, for identifying the task team, what are the terms of reference? One. To study, is it? Anyone who wants to come up can raise their hands, but to study, yes, Honourable Bob, Mabasa, I mean, Zitlangoma, Mabasa.
Honourable Chair, I know that we have spoken in many long ways. So to summarize the short ways, the long ways is a bit of a challenge. But I would think one of what that task team should do is to evaluate the previous successes of the previous team vis-a-vis the previous failures of the previous team, with a view of coming up with an optimal.
One of the terms of reference, second, anyone can put them forward yet, Honourable Barrett.
Obviously, Chairperson, the possible conflict that we've identified in the current legislation would be out there, the task in opposition to look at that as well, in terms of appointment of the board and the Chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
My apologies. Obviously, to look at the possible conflict in the legislation in the appointment of board and a chairperson of or board members and a chairperson of the board, and then obviously any amendments proposed from the from that process.
Chairperson, I would like this committee to find out from the minister his position in this process. As the legislation says, the minister appoints, not the committee. So I think the minister might have some preferences in terms of full-time, part-time. The minister might be able to indicate whether there's still enough time to change the legislation first and then to
to appoint, or whether we must run with the current legislation, and also whether our recommendations to the minister is binding on the minister. Because if it's not binding, then quite honestly, I don't feel like putting in so much energy into the process. If our recommendation is just going to inform him, but he's still going to do his own thing, then I'm going to be reluctant to spend a lot of days on such a process. And so I just want some answers from the minister in this regard.
Right, Honourable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the other thing is that we give the committee this task team the mandate of coming up with the criteria or the terms of reference. Let's mandate them so that, or what we have said, just to fine tune what we have said and come up with something tangible to say when we are interviewing, these are the criteria or terms of reference where we are going to put in. Yeah, what you mentioned, yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Ntuli. I think the problem, though, that we had was the advert itself was an advert for members of the board.
Mm.
Which is why now we've got this huge 84. That's part of the problem. Secondly, the legislation itself, with respect to the board, it would have been useful to find out whether some of those amendments could have been put in prior to the appointment of the chair, and it would have been useful for the task team, not ourselves, to look into that. You know, what would be the most, on the one hand, robust route forward, but in terms of our own powers as Parliament and so on, and also the practicalities thereof. I have already mentioned that it is now quite clear that the chairperson may not be extended. You know, the legislation does not allow that. So we are also governed or ringed by legislation that is saying, you can't do this. Now, we can change that if we amend that, but I mean, let's not try and do everything at once. So we must recognize the limits. We can't extend the life of the chair beyond the 2nd of December, full stop. The Act doesn't allow it currently. Now, given that the Act does not allow it, it shortens the operational process of our work. So if the task team decides, look, we need to change at least some critical clauses in the legislation before we do that. Then you have to factor in, what is this? What kind of piece of legislation is this? Is it a... Yes, but I mean...
75.
Okay, so then that's okay. They're all right, so we're not going to run into, you know, problems on the NCOP front as such. But then what is the process, the time constraints there? It would appear as if this may not allow that. And I don't want to go into it now. I think that's the task team must do that. Do you follow?
Yeah.
So that we would like the task team to at least look at that. And we're depending on the task team coming back to us with some recommendations and some understanding. That's really what we're asking for. And they will have the full support of the advocate and the research team here and the content specialist. So can we leave it there and say they will look into this, and simply to chart the way forward in what appears to be a simple exercise of an interviewing process and recommendation process, we now realize, now that we have applied our minds, that this is a lot more complex than we first thought. I think I'm right. Is that not correct? So we're going to take yourself, Honourable Maria, Honourable Ntuli, and then Honourable Njikalana.
Madam Chair, yes, I think you've summed it up quite nicely. But I think also what one would like the task team to consider is that normally in a corporate environment, you would
appoint a board, and from the board you will appoint a chairperson. Here it seems like the other way around. Hypothetically, we might appoint a chairperson, and then the minister still has got prerogative to appoint the board. Now, if he doesn't appoint those our appointees as members of the board, then you sit in a quite catch-22 situation. So also to consider that, and whether we can streamline it in that way as well.
Jefferson, I think you have completed this resolution. In fact, it's we're supposed to nominate those people. Whatever we think about, we'll be able to advise the task team while they're in progress, instead of trying to go. So can I nominate?
Honourable Indica Lana had some very brief comments.
Chair, all I'd like to say is that one of the terms of reference I would like to propose is that the task team should facilitate the process of shortlisting.
I wonder if we all heard that the task team would shortlist. Of course, we would hope that the shortlist would not come down to 3 or something ridiculous. 84 applications, having given them the task of shortlisting, we would hope that it's quite a broad shortlist. That's what I'm worried about when we say shortlisting. And I see Honourable Mabasa looking very worried now. What is it?
What's worrying me, Comrade Chair, you just read my mind, is how the task team, can it explore how the public moves with us?
You know what, Honourable Members, we are a people's parliament. Some of us, of course, from time to time forget these things, and this is a participatory parliament as well. But let's put it this way, Honourable Mabasa, that we're hoping from the task team is they'll come forth with this, with a process. And then, of course, taking into account that we are not any old democracy, what are the hallmarks of this democracy contained right here in our constitution, and obviously the process should be within that framework and so on. I think I don't want to say more. I want to come back to Honourable Ntuli, who wished to nominate someone at that point. May I suggest, Honourable Members, a task team of 3. We really don't need the whole committee there, and I for one am standing down from that task.
Chairperson, to make your work easy, I think I will just nominate 3 persons. Then it depends whether you agree or you. I will say, firstly, I will nominate Honourable Sister Njingelana, Honourable Van Westhuizen, and Limenya. Those 3 to try to have the multi-party.
You've given us a kind of trifecta. That's what studying the lotteries brings us from. Blimey, horse race. Right. Honourable Mabasa.
Is it?
Well, Comrade Chair, I second the nominations as put forward by Honourable Ntuli.
Chairperson, as the junior member of the DA here, and since the senior person has already, with a very fine footwork, taken himself out of this game, I haven't got much of a choice.
Now, I think we have the team. The difficulty now, and I'm sure you are very worried, We do have Honourable Turok as a resource. By resource, I mean he's got a lot of documentation, which he's already made available to us. He's indicated that. I've indicated the deadlines. You know, today is the 15th. And we would really like to see some brief report, at least, by the... it looks like Wednesday the 23rd, is it? Now, that's not too far away. It's a week. Now, I wondered on the 22nd. Well, let me... No, you see, on the 22nd, some of... I know we've got the 23rd as well, the crisis. Will you be ready on the 22nd? Or would you rather not want to meet yourselves a little bit on the 22nd, you see? Because we've got here interviews for the position. So you could meet on the 22nd and fine-tune whatever work you were doing. That's the point I'm making. You could even meet tomorrow. Because we were already meeting. Don't you see that? We were. So we're not adding new meetings. Yes.
Chairperson, may I just suggest that before we start with the shortlisting process, which is quite an intense process, that we first come back to the committee and say, listen, these are the criteria that we thought, you know, would apply to this position. After having spoken to a number of people, these are the criteria. Are you in agreement with that? So that we can then go back, so that we don't do all the work, and when we come to the end, we find that your thinking and our thinking has been quite far apart.
Well, look, there's just one thing. We're not asking you only to shortlist. That's the issue. That's the last thing. We're actually asking you to do a lot of other spade work as well. I think we listed those, and I'm going to ask our committee secretaries to type this out and give everyone the same thing so that we're all on the same wavelength. Because I just don't think it's going to be that simple. If you look at some of the issues we've raised already, we would have liked to have extended the life of the board. Mm-hmm. So we could, you know, amend the legislation. We've already said that. But because we can't do that, you know, the time constraints in the legislation, their life has already been extended. Their shelf life, as it were. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, you know, we're hemmed in. There is a deadline, the 2nd of December, and we are asking you, is there time to amend critical parts of this? At least to say, can we shortlist the membership of the board? You know, issues like that. We don't want to ourselves as a big group deal with that right now. We're asking you to deal with that tomorrow. You can, in fact, have the committee staff with you working, because they were going to be here. And if you want any other meetings, I'm standing down on this purely, well, for a number of reasons. One, I don't think as chair I want to chair that again and then chair what I've chaired, you know. I mean, this is quite ridiculous. But besides that, there's the EP, there's the SAEU that one is preparing for as well. So I wanted somebody who had continuity, and within the committee there appears to be only one other person besides Turok, and that is Caesar, Honourable Njikalana. So he will steer, when I say steer, obviously not, I'm sure, bring an authoritarian approach to things, but simply provide some guidance with everyone else. So you can put all your thoughts there, and then you meet tomorrow. You've got a long time. You meet again, if you like, even on Friday for some time. But I mean, we've got the co-ops there. Oh, we've got the oversight. And then we've got Tuesday again, fine-tuning. I think you've got more than enough time for the time we allocated to ourselves as a committee. You don't have to identify other days other than a short visit to Turok's library. So, you know, to me this is a simple exercise, members. And I think that you should consult whoever you wish to from your different multi-party perspectives, you know.
so that you come here and add something. You know, we obviously will be consulting from our own structures, I'm sure, members of the ANC and so on, and coming forth. And yourself, Honourable Mabasa, don't think that you can't go and engage Honourable Njikalana extensively over lunch and tea to make sure that he doesn't forget the People's Parliament, you see, and so on. All right. So I think we spent enough time on this. It's unfortunate that at this late stage we found out that we have this problem. The way we then need to go forward without keeping you here is to ask the committee secretary to review this program, because we now have to change it. I'm sure you can see that. And then come back. Is there anyone who feels we should have set a number for the shortlist? Anyone who feels that this group may not be reasonable? No. You see, I mean, we're putting up, you know, I don't want to call it trust. We are allowing you to pursue the mandate effectively. That's Honourable Njikalana, Honourable Van der Westhuizen, Honourable Labenia, and to come back. Thank you. Yes, Honourable Van der Westhuizen.
Good idea.
Do some admin in our offices. Now, I'd also like to remind
the ANC informally that there is a study group tonight, and as there always is on Tuesday. So I know some of us to get the day.
Another suggestion, can I ask that we all give back these?
Yeah, that is what I want to ask.
Not a wise idea. Just hand them back. Hand them back, please.
Great minds think alike. Great minds think alike. Or is it false? Never true. Mr. Van der Westhuizen, is it a great minds think alike or false? Never true.
Do you mind to put your name? Do you mind to put your name too, so that we can see that we all retest, please?
We are trustworthy.
Yeah, so that you'll get the same patch.
Fine and innocent.
You determined that we'd be here for the whole day. I can see the trick.
I'm not going to tell you.
You must come up with what areas are you going to touch, because this year we strategy in the morning, so that first finally we in another, so we must know what you have. First. Sorry, are you going to it, because the strategy continues tomorrow morning? I mean, but we have, yeah, so that you can be able. Oh, okay. Mark is right.
No, we can't. We don't have enough time. Yes. No, I said to. It's very unfortunate. Is that missing?
Thank you.